We're in the middle of the middle-sized wide lines here on Chav Chesem and Aleph. We had the story of Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua, a very bitter story. And at the end of the day, based on the Psak Halacha, like Rabbi Yeshua against Rabbi Gamliel, and Rabbi Gamliel had really hurt the feelings of Rabbi Yeshua, and that's an understatement. Rabbi Gamliel declared that he wants to come and be Mephias Rabbi Yeshua. Kimoto Lebese, when Rabbi Gamliel arrived at the house of Rabbi Yeshua Chazina, he saw him li esh yosa de beise de mishachra, and the kiros, the walls of his house were black. Amalei, Rabbi Gamliel turns to Rabbi Yeshua, mikosle beska tonika shepchamiata, from the walls of the house I can tell that you're a pachami. Pachami is someone who uses the bellows and is involved in creating coals and so forth, and the black smoke impacts on the bayis itself. And probably Rabbi Yeshua was some sort of a blacksmith. Amalei, so Rabbi Yeshua says, "Oy lo ledor shato parnaso." Woe to the generation that you're the parnas. Parnas means that you're appointed over this generation. You're the leader. You're the nasi. Anyone who's a nasi, is a leader of his people, is called parnas. Parnas is a word that indicates that you are supporting the people, holding them up. For example, the Gemara in Erechin says about Yehoyakim and Tzidkio that Parnas lefi dor, dor lefi Parnas. An interesting phrase. She'iyate yodeh betzaran shal talmidi chachamim. Are you not aware of the anguish and the suffering of the talmidi chachamim? Bamehim is Parnasim, bamehim nizonim. How do they support themselves? How do they bring food to the table? You're not aware of it? That they are so poor that they have to get involved in what we call malachos bzuyos. These are humiliating kinds of work in order to eke out a living. And the leader should be aware of that. There's a comment here in the Shut HaTashbeitz that Rabbi Yeshua was an avbezdin. And technically he should have been asur, he should have been prohibited from doing malacha in public, as is indicated by the Gemara in Kiddushin, with regard to also li'odam shesmana leparnas, a person who was appointed as a parnas, a spiritual leader of his people, the tzibur, he's not allowed to do malach in front of three people, because it's a genai, it's sort of an insult to the tzibur that their leaders have no other choice but to do malacha. But Rabbi Yeshua did his malacha betzina, it wasn't public, it was private, and therefore Rabbi Gamliel didn't know that he was a pchami. Omalos, Rabbi Gamliel says, na'anesi lecha, I spoke, dibarti, yosum and aroi. I said things that perhaps I shouldn't have said, and I'm now coming to be mashpil myself in front of you, and mecholi, I'm asking you for mechilo ashkachbe. Rabbi Yeshua was not interested at this point in giving a mechila to Rabbi Gamliel, so Rabbi Gamliel says to him, I say b'shvil kvod Abba, can you be mochami because of the respect for my father, Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel, who was one of the Asar Ruge Malchus, pious, and then Rabbi Yeshua was pacified, and he granted mechila to Rabbi Gamaliel. After the pius, the Chachamim wanted to replace Rabbi Gamaliel, bring him back to the Nesius, and reappoint him as the Nasi. Amru, the Chachamim that were in the house of Rabbi Yeshua made the following declaration: Man Nezel v'Leimeluhu l'Rabbanon. Who's going to go and tell the Chachamim in the Beis HaMedrash that Rabbi Gamliel was Mephias Rabbi Yeshua, and therefore he should be re-established as the Nasi? Omer lehu ha-hu koves, a person who was a koves, he was a washer, he was in charge of the laundry. Ana azilna, I'll be willing to go. Shalach lehu Rabbi Yeshua le-Bei Midrasha. Rabbi Yeshua sent to the Beis Medrash in the hands of this koves the following statement: Man delavish mida, or mada, yilbash mada. Someone who is used to wearing a certain kind of a me'il, a certain kind of a cloak, yilbashena, he should wear it. Which means that since Rav Gamliel was used to being a nasi, therefore he should be reinstated. Uman delo lavish mada, yemar le'laman delavish mada, shlach madach va'ana elbashe. Someone who's not used to wearing the cloak, the me'il, could he say to someone who's rugged, someone who's used to wearing the cloak, "Pshot me'alecha b'ani'al b'shena," take off your cloak, your official garments, and I'm going to wear them? In other words, he was making a comment about Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah that he wasn't really fit to wear the cloak, the official garment of Nasius, and replace Rabbi Gamliel. So the Chacham of the Beis Medrash decided, when they heard these words from the Koves, that they would not agree to accept this and to replace and reinstate Rabbi Gamliel as a Nasi. Amalu Rabbi Akiva l'Rabbanan. Rabbi Akiva said to the scholars, "Troku gale, close, lock the door. Delo lesu avde de Rabbi Gamliel ulitzaru l'Rabbanan," that the servants of Rabbi Gamliel should not come here and cause anguish to the Chachamim, because Rabbi Akiva did not want to accept the words of the Koves. Amar Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua responded, "The ekum v'ezel ano l'gabayhu. I'm going to stand up, and I'm going to go personally to the Beis HaMedrash." Asa taraf habava. Rabbi Yeshua came and he knocked on the door with his fist. Amar lehu, and he declared, "Maze ben maze yize, a Kohen, the son of the Kohen, is fit to do the hazah of the mechatas." What that means is that if a person contracts tumas mes, then in order for him to purify himself, he needs hazah asmaim chayim, in which there's efer, the ashes of a paraduma, and that's called mechatas. And this hazah is done on the third day and the seventh day of his tuma. And after the hazah, on the seventh day, he can be tovel, and he becomes tar in the evening. The hazah of the mechatas can be implemented even by a non-kohen, a zar. But nevertheless, they were rugged. They used to have the kohen do the hazah. So therefore, Rabbi Yeshua mentioned maze ben maze, a kohen, the son of a kohen. V'she'eno lo maze v'lo ben maze, yomer le maze ben maze. And someone who's not a kohen, he's not the son of a kohen, can he turn to a kohen, the son of a kohen, who's a maze, and say, "Meimech me ma'ora v'efrecha efer mikla, the water that you are using for the hazah, for the sprinkling, is not mechatos, but rather it's me ma'ora, which is water that's taken from the caves, and it's called mayim sruchim. It already has a foul odor. Efer, this efer is not the efer of a para. This is just efer that gathered together from different ovens and so forth." Now Rabbi Yeshua was communicating the following message, that just as a person is not nogeh b'kuhuna, he doesn't have any shaykhus to kuhuna if he doesn't come from Zera Aaron HaKohen. And Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who was 10 generations Ben Acher Ben from Ezra HaKohen, was a Kohen. So would somebody say to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah that you don't deserve to be a Kohen because you don't come from Zera Aaron HaKohen? You certainly do come from Zera Aaron HaKohen. That's the Mitzvah, that's reality. And to start shepherding with a Kohen and say, well, this is not the Efer of the Parah, this is Stam Efer. I mean, that's something that should come from a Kohen who's Ragil. So he uses that as an analogy. Kmo Chein, so too, we should not touch, so to speak, we should not undermine the Nesius of Rabbi Gamliel, because he's Roy, he's fit for the, he's from the lineage of the Nesius. And Rabbi Yeshua added that just like we rely on a Kohen who testifies that this is Mechatos, this is not Mayim Psulim, you know, this is not Mayim that comes from Ma'ara, and this is not Efer of Efer Mikla that comes from the ovens or the Kiros, is so too, we should rely on Rabbi Gamliel that he's doing what's right, Vu Osek Yedin, and we shouldn't be medagnic and try to say, well, you know, he doesn't really deserve to be a Nasi. So basically, Rabbi Yeshua is coming to be Mephayes, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. He uses a mashal that just like you, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, are roy to be a Kohen, and no one who's not roy to be a Kohen can replace you, so too, you don't have a right to the Nesius to replace Rabbi Gamliel. So this mashal is a mashal for Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Amalei Rabbi Akiva, the Chacham heard the words of Rabbi Yeshua, and they accepted those words, and they agreed. There was a general consensus to reinstate Rabbi Gamliel as a Nasi, and Rabbi Akiva, representing the Chachamim, turns to Rabbi Yeshua. He says, Rabbi Yeshua, Nitpayasta, since you were pacified, we now agree that we should bring back Rabbi Gamliel to the Nesius. Kluma asinu ela bishvil kvodcha, because the only reason that we impeached Rabbi Gamliel was only because of your honor, and therefore lemachar, tomorrow anivata nashkim lefischa. No, it's just like a person goes to the palace to see the king, and even people who are choshev, they get up early and they knock on the door of the king of the palace. We too, in order to show and demonstrate to Rabbi Gamliel that we want to reinstate him, we will be mashkim lepischa. We'll wake up early and we'll knock on his door, and when we go, other people will join us. There'll be a whole entourage of Chachamim coming to honor Rabbi Gamliel, to reinstate him as the Nasi. And once the Chachamim agreed that we have to bring back Rabbi Gamliel to his Nasius, now there was a suffix. They didn't know what exactly they should do with Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Amri, the Chacham said, Hechi Navid, what are we going to do now? Na'avre, should we remove Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah as the Nasi? Maybe we shouldn't do so. Why? Gmiri, we have a tradition, Malin B'Kodesh V'Ein Moridin, that you're allowed to uplift something and upgrade it from one level of Kedusha to an added level of Tosefes Kedusha, but we don't bring something down from its Mila. So what is the other option? Nidrosh Mar Chadashab Su Mar Chadashab. So perhaps we should have Rabbi Gamliel get one Shabbos, and the next Shabbos will be Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. They'll have a rotation system, they'll split the Nesius. But then the Gemara says, Asi L'Knuye, there'll be a certain element of jealousy between them. And the Gemara says, in Chulin, Ein Shnei Malachim Mishtamshim B'Keser Echad B'Shoveh, when you have two people who are sharing the throne, so to speak, there'll always be jealousy one from the other. It's a very dangerous situation. Ella, but rather Lidros from Gamliel Tlosa Shamsi. Let Rav Gamliel darshan in the Beis Medrash in the Yeshiva 3 out of 4 Shabbos or Blazman Azarya Chada Shabsa. And here the question is obvious. What do we gain by 3 verses 1 if we're trying to avoid kina? If from Gamliel we get 2 Shabbos and Rav Blazman Azarya would get 2 Shabbos, it was certainly kina. So what exactly was this suggestion, this arrangement? So notwithstanding that difficult question about this arrangement, try to understand it, let's just mention 2 approaches. One approach says that they replaced Rav Gamliel back to his Nesius, and Rav Elazar ben Azari was no longer the Nasi. They just gave him some formality in which he would give the drasha once a month, and that was a kind of a Sarara, but the real Nasi was Rav Gamliel, and therefore Rabbi Elazar ben Azarya would not have to be jealous. He's not really sharing the Nesius. The other approach is that indeed there was a partnership here and they were sharing the Nesius. Rabbi Elazar ben Azarya was also a Nasi, but yet Rabbi Gamliel would darshan 3 out of 4, which means he would get another 2 extra Shabbosos each month. And the reason for that is, says the Ben Yehoyada, because Rabbi Gamliel had 2 pluses, 2 advantages, so to speak, over Rabbi Elazar ben Azarya in terms of his claim to the throne, so to speak, his status as a Nasi. Number one, he was the Nasi before Rabbi Elazar ben Azarya. And when it comes to, so to speak, the Chukei Asrara, whoever was first, he gets Zchut Kedima. We give him certain superior rights. And number two, he has what's called Zchus Avosov. He comes from a lineage, a line of Nesiim. So therefore they gave Rav Gamliel 2 extra Shabbosos. Again, it's still not crystal clear why that would solve the problem of Kina, which was raised just in the line above. The Gemara tells us, Hainu di Omar Mar, we have a price of Musetha Chagiga that Rabbi Yeshua once asked Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka and Rabbi Losa Chasma, Shabbos Shal Mi Hoysa, who was the one who darshan that Shabbos? And they answered, Shal Rabbi Losa ben Azariah Hoysa. So it implies that there were certain Shabbosos that Rabbi Gamliel would darshan, and there were others when Rabbi Elazar ben Azarya would darshan. The Gemara now explains that Talmud that we discussed on the previous Amud, who asked the question to Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel, whether Tfilas Arvis is Rishus Rechova, also Talmud, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Havi. It was none other than Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Now, why did the Gemara bring the name of that Talmud, and also at the end of the Maisa, the Gemara could have formulated from the get-go Maisa Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Shebolifnei Rabbi Yeshua. The explanation that's offered is that we learned in the Gemara Shabbos Lamed Beis Megalgil in Schus Al Yedei Zakai V'Chov Al Yedei Chayav. If somebody hears this Maisa, he might allow a thought to cross his mind that if it was Rav Shimon ben Yochai who started this whole avalanche and his Galgala, Choval Yodah, because as a result of his actions, his questions, and so forth, they removed Rav Gamliel from his Nesius. Well, wait till the end of the Maisa, and Rav Gamliel was replaced to the Nesius. So this is his Galgala Schus to Rav Gamliel, and also to Rav Elazar ben Azarya. So the Gemara therefore postpones revealing the name of this Talmud until we see the end of the story, and then we can see that it's Megalgalin Schus Al Yedei Zakai. The Mishnah tells us that according to the Chachamim, Musaf, the tefillah of Musaf, the Zman of Musaf, is Kol Hayom, the entire day. Omar Rabbi Yochanan says, even though you have the entire day for Musaf, but nevertheless, we should not delay it, because if he delays it until after Sheva Shos, he's Nikra Poshea, And what he means to say is that even according to the Chachamim, that hold that the Zman of Mincha, of Musaf, is the entire day, nonetheless, if he delays davening Musaf until after the seventh hour, he's called a Poshea. And that's a big chiddush. Later on, Rashi is going to explain that Poshea is a misatzel. He seems lazy about it. And what it really means is that when a person has an opportunity to fulfill a mitzvah that's time bound, he should do it at the earliest time. He shouldn't delay it. And it's also a kiyum of zrizus. Now we're going to see soon that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says that a person who davens after Musaf after the seventh hour, then the pasuk says in Tzfanya, "Nogi mimoed asafta," which means it's a kind of a language of shever, and that's the language here of Rabbi Yochanan of a poshea. The Gemara now quotes a brisa that deals with a person who stands up to daven Musaf and Mincha. And in the overlap, he has to decide which one comes first. Tana Rabbanan, Ha'ilufanim Shtei Tefilos, Achas Shel Mincha, Achas Shel Musaf. So we're talking about, let's say, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that half hour between Sheshu Mechza, which is the Zman of Mincha, and the beginning of the seventh hour, which is the time for Musaf, is Mispal Shel Mincha, V'achach Mispal Shel Musaf, Shezu Tadir V'zut She'enu Tadir. This is the principle of Tadir V'She'enu Tadir. And Mincha is davened on a daily basis, and therefore it has the status of Tadira, and therefore it gets precedence over Musaf in terms of sequence. However, this is only according to the Chacham. Rav Yehuda Omer Mispal Shel Musaf Yakach Mispal Shel Mincha Shezo Mitzvah Veres Vezo Mitzvah She'eno Veres. Omer Rav Yochanan Halacha Mispal Shel Mincha Yakach Mispal Shel Musaf. He passes like the Chachamim. Rashi back on Daf Chav Zayin explains what this machlokus is all about. The Chachamim are very consistent because back on Daf Chav Vav they maintain that Tfilas Musaf is Kol Hayom. And so too, Tefilas Mincha could be davened Kol Hayom, meaning from the time of Sheshu Mechza until Shkia. They're not afraid that the Zman of Tefilas Musaf is going to pass by and he won't daven. And therefore we go back to the principle of Tadiv Sheino Tadiv, Tadiv Kodiv, and therefore Mincha comes first. Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, who holds that Zman Mincha to the Zman Tefilas Musaf is until Shah Shviyas, he wants to be mocked in Musaf because he's afraid that maybe the time will pass. However, Rashi here, Dibra Maskel Mispalel, explains that according to the Chachamim, we should be mocked in Mincha to Musaf in order that he shouldn't be called a Poshea even on Tefilas Musaf, also on Tefilas Musaf. What is Rashi telling us? The Gemara explains that the reason why we should be mocked in Mincha is because Tadira and Musaf is Eina Tadira. Why would he be considered a Poshea on Tefilas Mincha when he has until the Erev? So there's a whole discussion about this Rashi and how to explain this Rashi, why the Chacham hold that Tefilas Musaf is not called a Mitzvah of Veres, even though they themselves admit that he shouldn't be ma'achet Tefilas Musaf after Shavas, because he's considered a poshe, as we saw in Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Zeraki havi cholish migirsa, when he was weak from studying, because he put so much energy into his learning, he got weak, havi ozil v'yosa, he would go and sit apischa debay Rav Nosson, Rabbi Nosson bar Tuvi, he would sit on the doorpost of Rabbi Nosson bar Tuvi. Omer and Rav Zera declared, ki chalfi rabbanon, when the chachamim who leave the house of Rabbi Nosson bar Tuvi, when they finish learning with him, az eku mekamayhu, I will stand up in front of them, vakabal agra, and I'll get schar for being makabal pnei hachachamim, by standing in front of the chachamim. And this is a great mitzvah of mipnei seva toku. And the Gemara in Kiddushin explains that this din applies to a chacham, mipnei seva toku. There's machlokis in the Gemara in Kiddushin between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Does this din of a Neseva Takum apply even to a Zakein Chacham, even to a Tzayir Chacham, only to a Zakein Chacham, or even to a Tzayir Chacham? Now, this whole business about Akabal Schara, that he wants to do it in a way that he should be Makabal Schara, is a little bit of a problem because of the famous Mishnah in Avos, Al Tiu Kavodim at Misham Shusarav Manas Lekabal Pras. Why would Rav Zera organize it in such a way that he should stand for the Chachamim in order to receive Schar? But perhaps we can explain that based on the Shulchan Aruch in Chol Shem Mishpat Siman Lamed Dalet. Based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin that you don't take money in order to testify. However, you're permitted to take money if you do a halicha, you put in a lot of effort to see if you could be made. So here also, as far as Asiyas Mitzvah, he doesn't want the schar for the mitzvah. That's not he's motivated to do the mitzvah lishma. And if he is not motivated to do the mitzvah lishma, then al tiyu kavodim, etc. But here, he puts himself into a situation where he will be chayav in the mitzvah, and he'll get schar for that. That's the schar that he's eager to get. That's the halicha of Rabbi Zera to bring himself into a situation where he'll be chayav in the mitzvah. Nafak asa Rabbi Nosson bar Tuvi. When Rabbi Nosson bar Tuvi finished the shiur and he left his house, Amar Le Rabbi Zera said to him, "Man Amar Halacha Beit Midrasha, who said in the Beis Medrash that the Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda?" Amar Le Hachi Amar Rabbi Yochanan. He said, "No." The assumption here is that, as we saw earlier, Rabbi Yochanan said that the Halacha is that you daven mincha first, which means that we passing like the Chacham against Rabbi Yehuda. The question that Rabbi Zeru is asking, "Man Amar Halach Bei Midrasha, who said that the Halach is like Rabbi Yehuda?" Which is the way Rashi Dibur Maskel Man explains it. So it's a bit strange. So we'll come back to this in just a minute. Amar Le Rabbi Nosson Ben Tuvi Bar Tuvi responds that in the Beis Medrash, nobody said the halach is like Rabbi Yehuda, but on the contrary, Hachi Omer Rabbi Yochanan, ain't halach Rabbi Yehuda. The Omer Mispal Adam Shal Musvi Akach Mispal Shal Mincha. But rather, we pass like the Chachamim that he should daven Mincha first. So the question of Zera was that who in the Beis Medrash paskined halacha ki Rabbi Yehuda? And Rabbi Nosson said that Adarabba, the opposite is true, ain't halach Rabbi Yehuda. Now the Tzlach tries to explain why Rashi couldn't explain the Gemara Kipshuta. It doesn't say in the Gemara that Rabbi Zera was asking who is the Tana who says that the Halach is like Rabbi Yehuda. Rashi could have said that Rabbi Zera's question was who is the Tana who said ain't Halach Rabbi Yehuda, and then Rabbi Nosson would identify that Tana as Rabbi Yochanan. So the problem that Rashi was bothered by is that if so, Rabbi Nosson should have said the following: Rabbi Yochanan Amra. There's certain arichus dvarim hachi Amar Rabbi Yochanan ein halacha ki Rabbi Yehuda. That's what bothered Rashi. So therefore, Rashi came to the conclusion that Rabbi Zera was under the misimpression that there was someone who passed an halacha like Rabbi Yehuda, and that's where Rabbi Nosson bar Tuvi sets the record straight. Amalei, Rabbi Zera says now, Rabbi Yochanan Amra, is it possible that Rabbi Yochanan said this? Amalei, it. That's exactly what Rabbi Yochanan said. Tanavinei Arboz Zimnin. Rabbi Zera learned this and repeated it from Rabbi Nosson bar Tuvi 40 times. Amalei, so now he asks Rabbi Nosson bar Tuvi, why was this halacha so beloved to you, so cherished by you, chaviv alecha, that you learned this halacha 40 times? Is it because chada hilach? Is it the first time that you heard this halacha from Rabbi Yochanan? And this is the only halacha that you heard from him until this day. This is the first time you heard from him, and that made it so beloved to you. Oh, chadas hilach, or is this a new halacha for you? And therefore you thought until now that some other Amora said it. Omalei, so Rav Zera responds, chadas hili. This is a new halacha for me. Let me just change one thing. It was Rav Zera who learned 40 times from Rav Nosson Bar Tuvi this halacha that Rav Yochanan paskins like the Chachamim against Rav Yehuda, Mincha comes before Musaf. Amalei, so Rav Nosson Bar Tuvi asks Rav Zera, why did you have to learn it from me 40 times? Why was it so? Why did you cherish this halacha so much that you would review it 40 times? Is it because, number one, chada hilach, this is the first time that you heard any halacha in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, and until this day you had never learned anything from Rabbi Yochanan, as we said earlier? Oh, is it because chadas hilach, that this halacha itself is new to you? In other words, until this day you thought that some other Amora said it, and now you're very excited to hear that it was Rabbi Yochanan himself who said it. Not that this is the first time you heard any halacha dvar Torah from Rabbi Yochanan. Amalei, so Rabbi Zeh responded to explain his behavior to Rabbi Nosson. He said to him, Chadasi li, this is a brand new halacha for me. Why? Mishum de mesafkali b'Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Because I was under the impression that this was a halacha that was said by Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. So I was excited about the fact that you're telling me that it was Rabbi Yochanan who said this. Om Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi kol ha-mispalot tefila shel musafim li'achar shev shos l'Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds that the sof zman, the latest time to daven Musaf, is the seventh hour. If somebody davens Musaf after that time, Olav HaKosav Omer, Apostolic in Svanya, Nuge Mimoed Asafti Kilisi. Kilisi Mimechoy. In other words, that since he was Ma'acher the Moed, and that he made it, he recited Musaf too late, so therefore we will become, according to this Pasuk, Shvurim, we'll be broken up, Pasufim, we will be Kolim, all sorts of words that are not so positive, pretty destructive. My Mashma, how do you know that this Pasuk is talking about breaking it up? Tahai Nuge, this word Nuge, is Lishna de Tavrahu, it means, it's a Loshen Shever, something that's broken. Kinemitargim Rav Yosef, because we have the translation of Rav Yosef, of this Pasuk, into Aramaic, and he translates it as Tavra Osi al Soneihem, the base Yisrael uses a euphemism here, that there should be a breakup of the enemies of the Jewish people, al Diacharu Zmane Moade Dirushalayim, that they pass the time period that was designated for the Zman of the Mo'adim in Yerushalayim. So Nugi apparently is a Lashon Shever, to break it up. Now Tosus Dibra Masel Kinematargim explains that the Kavana, the intention of this Targum of Rav Yosef, is that this Pasuk is referring to Zmani Atfila, as we saw in Rav Yeshua ben Levi. We should not interpret the Pasuk as referring to the Regolim, to the actual Moed, because you wouldn't talk about Ichur, about delaying, you know, missing the time, because when you talk about Ichur, it means that you can do it later on, or you can replace it, the Tashlumen. Here there's no Tashlumen for the Moed. So therefore we interpret as referring to Zmane Hatfila, in this case the Moed, the Tfila of Musaf, which is unique to a Moed. Now we're going to see that Rabbi Lazar is going to take the same Pasuk in a different direction. Om Rabbi Lazar kolam ispalal tefila shel shachris li'achar arba shos l'Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds that the latest time for shachris is 4 hours into the day. And if he davens it too late, all of Akosiv Omer, the same pasuk, Nuge mi moed asafti mi mechayu. In other words, Nuge means those who will be broken up because they delay the moed of tefillah, the time for tefillah. My mashma, the Gemara wants to clarify, how do we know that hai Nuge, this word Nuge, lishna de tsarahu, that it means that there's going to be some sort of a tsar brought upon this person who's davening too late. The chsiv, because the pasuk says in Tehillim, this is the longest parak I think in Tanakh, Tehillim kuf yutes, dolfa nafshi mituga. Now the Hebrew translation of dolfa nafshi mituga is nitfa nafshi mitzar. In other words, nechseres veholeches mirov tzar. So we see that this language of Nogi is a lashon of tsar. Jerry, do you have an English translation of the word notfa, of dolfa, by any chance? Let me borrow this from you. I'll give it right back.
I'm going according to the Hebrew, so I don't know.
Yeah, okay. I just wanted to see.
I don't know if the English is correct.
I just wanted to see if he has anything here in the English that might add something. Just one second. Where are we? Just one second. Yeah. He says, what indicates that the word nuga is a term of affliction? And he quotes a pasuk in Tzfanya, in Tillim, excuse me, and the pasuk says, dolfa nafshi mituga, my soul melts from affliction, melts. Okay. So there's a relationship between tuga and nugi. And Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Nachbar Yitzchak Mihachi, he quotes a different pasuk, and this is a pasuk in Eicha. It says, "Besulosel nugos v'hi mar lo." Her maidens are afflicted, and she herself is embittered. So again, when we're talking about someone who delays the morning prayer, Rabbi Lazar had explained that the word nuge is afflicted. Rabbi Shuman Levi, he says, when referring to one who delays musaf, Nuge is broken. And here in Rabbi Lazar, we're referring to Shachris, Nuge means afflicted. So he says here in the footnote, the reason for this difference, this distinction, is that if you delay Musaf, that's a greater sin than delaying Shachris. Because Shachris has a possibility of Tashlumin, but there's no makeup, there's no Tashlumin for Musaf. Okay. So now we're going to turn to Daf Chav Ches Amid Beis. The Gemara tells us a story about Tfilas Musaf. Rav Avya Chalash, Rav Avya became ill. Velo Asal Lepirkid Rav Yosef, and he didn't come on Shabbos to hear the shir of Rav Yosef. Lemochar Ki Asa, when he came the next day to the Beis Medrash, Boy Abay Lanuche Daitid Rav Yosef. Abai wanted to calm down Rav Yosef that he shouldn't be mitztayer, he shouldn't be upset and be makbid on Rav Avia because he didn't come yesterday to the shir. Amalei, and therefore Abai asks Rav Avia, my time lo asamar lepirka, why were you absent yesterday? Amalei, Rav Avia says to him, tavi cholish libi velo mitzina, I was weak, my heart was weak and I couldn't come. Amalei, Abai says, Amailo ta'amt midi vi'asis, why don't you take something to eat to strengthen yourself and then you'd be able to come? Amalei, so Rav Avia answered, Lo sover le'mar lahod Rav Huna, do you not agree with the statement of Rav Huna, Deom Rav Huna, Oslo le'odim, she'itom klum kodim, she's fal tefilas musafim? The shir of Rav Yosef was before tefilas musaf, and you're not allowed to eat anything before musaf. Amalei, Sabai says, Iboile lemar litzliye tzlusinu musaf v'yachid. You could have davened musaf v'yachidus, and then you would be allowed to eat. V'lito midi, you could eat something, lemesi, and then you can come to the shir to hear of Yosef's lecture. Amalei, so Avia answers, Lo sarah lemar lahod yom Rav Yochanan, and you don't agree with the statement of Rav Yochanan, Asa lo liyom she'yachnit filos l'tfilos ha'tzibur, a person should not daven before the tzibur. And therefore, for me to daven musaf be yechidus, it would be before the tzibur. Amalei, Abai responded, "Lav itmar la, We learn about this in regard to Rabbi Yochanan's statement, Omar Rabbi Abba said, Mitzibur Shonim. Rabbi Yochanan was only talking about a person who is in the presence of the Tzibur. He's inside the shul, and the Tzibur is davening, then he shouldn't daven b'yichidus before the Tzibur. But if somebody is at home, then he could be mispali. You could have daven musa b'yichidus even before the Tzibur, because you're not in the shul, you're not in the presence of the Tzibur. So here's a comment from Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah says that the reason why a person should not daven b'yichidus is because tefilas rabim ritzuya lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because the power and the efficacy of the tefillah of the rabim is such, by far superior to tefillas hayochid. But in a case where he sees that the tzibur are davening late, and it's a show of veris, he's allowed to daven b'yichidus. So the Gemara seems to indicate that this isur lahakdin tefillas musa b'yichidus, the tefillas hatzibur, is only in the case of someone who's davening with the tzibur. And not only that, it could be that you add another possibility here, and that this situation was different because the purpose, the reason, the agenda here to daven the yechidus, musaf, is l'tzorech limud ha-Torah, for the sake of Talmud Torah, so that Rav Avia could come after he davened musaf, eat something, and then come to join the shir and hear the Torah. Now, they weren't matir of Aviyah to be mispalel bebeso, unless, or rather, because of the fact that he was weak. So, in general, it would seem that if you're in shul, you shouldn't daven before the tzibur davens, even if you're weak. The only reason they allowed Rav Avia to daven b'yichidus was because he was weak. Okay, so that's what we have. V'les hilchus alokar avhuna v'alokar av Yeshua ben Levi. So the Gemara is going to clarify what that means. Ki Rav Huna, we don't paskin like Rav Huna hoda amoron, that which we said before, that in the name of Huna, that you're not allowed to eat before Musaf, but rather halach is that you're allowed to be toem before tefilas Musaf. And the Rashbos says that some say that only te'ima is mutter before kodem tefilas Musaf, before Musaf, but achil itself would be asr, a full kind of meal. And he quotes the Raivin, who says that any kind of te'ima, even it's re'uya lisodas alev, it could satisfy the need or the hunger, is also mutter, but it has to be an achilas arroy. That he shouldn't wash and make himself a suda. So a full-fledged suda is prohibited even before tefilas musaf. Now, what do we mean when we say that we don't paskin like Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi? The Omer Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi came in Shegiyas Man HaMincha Osel Olyon Sheyitom Klum Kon Shispal Tfilas Mincha. But again, the halacha is that you're allowed to be toim before Tfilas Mincha. Now, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said Osel Litom. It sounds like he's saying that even if he began eating before the Zman of Mincha, he would have to be mafsik his achila when the time for Mincha arrives. And once again, the Gemara comes to the conclusion that you're allowed to be toim before mincha, but only to ima. Like, for example, you're allowed to eat fruits, you're allowed to eat a small amount of bread, perhaps, but a full-fledged suda, you're not allowed to eat before mincha. Now, we're going to start the new Mishnah here on Daf Chav Ches Amid Beis. Our Mishnah is going to clarify which tefillos from Nechunya ben Akana would be mispal when he entered into the Beis Medrash and when he exited from the Beis Medrash. And these tefillos can be recited whether it's b'yeshiva or b'yamida. He doesn't have to look towards the Mizrach. There's no ishtachava. He doesn't have to be nofel aponav. These are bakoshos. They're not formal tefillos that are regulated by the normal requirements of tefillah. Rav Nechunya ben Akana ya mispal b'knisos l'beis hamedrash b'tziyos tefillah k'tzara, very short bakosha. It did not have the formal structure of tefillah, which starts with three brachos of shevach, ends with three brachos of hodah, with the bakosh in the middle. This was a separate entity called tefillah ktsara. And the Gemara is going to explain exactly what the nusach of this tefillah ktsara was. Amru lo, the Chachamim asked Rav Nechunya ben Akana, ma makam l'tefillah zu, as if to say, what's the mechayev? Why is it that you felt compelled to have to raise your head towards Shemayim and express this tefillah? And he answered him, Amar lo, b'knisasi ani mispal shelo yered davar takol al yodi v'yitziasi ani nosein hoda al chelki. When I come into the Beis Medrash, I have to raise my voice in a supplication to God that none of the Talmidim should come to any mistaken impression about the halacha based on what they understood. I don't want to be in any way a conduit to cause a takola, some sort of downfall, some sort of violation of the law, because the Talmidim might not understand me properly. So please, Hashem, allow me to transmit the Torah in the clearest way. I give a hodal chelki, a moda to God on the Tovah that He gave me a chelik, a portion, and I could sit with the Yoshvei Beis HaMedrash, and we're going to see this clearly in the Gemara itself. Just mentioning here, the Ben Yod has a slightly different understanding of this tefillah ktsara of Rav Nechunya. He says that Rav Nechunya mispal miyad bePesach Beis HaMedrash. In other words, why did this was what the Chachamim tried to understand? Why was it that Rav Nechunya ben Akana immediately, when he entered into the Beis Medrash, even before he sat down in the Beis Medrash, he already raised his lips in this prayer, and he answered them, because this is not a prayer for my tzorchei aguf. This is a special tefillah shel ta'era ta'kol Beis Hamedrash al yodi. And immediately when I enter, I have to raise my voice in this tefillah, in this bakash. And when I go out of the Beis Medrash, I have to immediately give hodah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, samach lePesach. Tana Rabbana, and the Brisa says, b'knisaso, when he went into the Beis Medrash, mahu omer, what exactly did he say? Now, sometimes you'll find a different language, mahaya omer. But Mahaya Omer is kind of like telling a story, whereas Mahu Omer means what does a person say? I'm not just telling you a story about Rav Nechunya ben Akana, I'm really trying to formulate the exact nusach of the tefillah. And the Rambam in his Pirush HaMishnayos actually says on this mission that called Nichnas Beis Medrash Chayev L'Spal Tefillah. So we're not just telling a story, but this is an absolute chiyuv that's being codified in Halacha. Not only should the Talmidim not be mistaken by misinterpreting my words and come to the wrong conclusion, but I myself should not misinterpret the halacha, and then I would possibly, violate the law. And yismuchu bi chaverai, and chas v'sholom, if I'm nichshal, then my chaverim will be happy about kishloni. Now, what does this mean? So Rashi, Ibn Maskel v'lo, explains that yismuchu chaver al kishloni, and there are two evils here that will happen. Number one, chas v'sholom, there'll be a kishlon in dvar aloch. Number two, as a result, and I will bring about his case where yismuchu bo chaverov, and then the chaverim will be punished because of their simcha at my downfall. The Bartanura explains that the ra'ah is, the evil here is that they will be punished because of him. And that's a greater kisholo, that's even worse than the fact that he'll be nikshal in dvar halacha. Now, what's unclear here is why would the chaverim be smechim al kishloni? Not clear. Perhaps there's some sort of a note here in any of your pirushim here. Jerry, is there any note there maybe as to why? Let me just borrow this again. I know I'm borrowing this over and over again, but I'm just trying to figure out, because the Masifta here doesn't help me. And he says, V'ismuchu b'chaveri, my colleagues rejoice over me. To rejoice, he says, over the fact that I erred, and I would be the cause of my colleagues being punished. No explanation here. Why do we have to be afraid that if one makes a mistake in halacha, his chaverim, these aren't such great chaverim, they'll be happy on his kishalom?
It sends to the Marsha.
And does he give something? Oh, that's the next line in the Gemara. We didn't get to that yet. Yeah, go ahead.
This is on this comment.
So, John, do me a favor. Read it to yourself and just answer, if you can, based on what you read, answer the question, why will his chaverim be happy when he's nikshal? If you haven't answered that question, let me know. V'lo Omar, al tomei tar, v'lo al tar tomei. I shouldn't say that something that's tar, it's tomei, vice versa. And the Tana says, V'lo tari tari, V'lo tari. Why did he have to repeat himself in this brisa? It should have been enough to say, Lo akashel v'dvar alocha. He says that when he says, Lo akashel v'dvar alocha, his intention is that he shouldn't do a maisa, shelo kehogen. When he says on tomei tar and tomei tar, tar tomei, what he means to say is that even if it'll be an amira, even if it's a wrong statement in halacha, that's also something that he's mispal that shouldn't happen. Now, why doesn't he mention al dover mutar asur, or something that's posel is kosher, or something that's chayav is zakeh? There's so many different possibilities here. Why does he isolate the emphasis here is on tamei tar? So the Ben Yoyada says that the reason why he mentions Tum and Tara is to teach us that a person should be mispalel not to be nichshal b'tum v'tara, even if it's not halacha l'maisa. No, it's just in theory, he shouldn't be distorting the halacha, even if it's only conceptual and it's not actual. V'lo yikoshli chavera, v'lo yikoshlu chavera b'tvar halacha, v'esmach b'hem. My students, my friends, my colleagues shouldn't make a mistake based on what I teach. And as a result, I will be happy with their kishalon. But the Marsha says that his kavan is a kaver of lo yikoshlu b'dvar halacha. U'makosh lo yikoshlu, then I will be happy. In other words, if God will fulfill this bakosha and they will not make any mistakes, then I'll be very, very happy. Now we see also, what does he say on his way out? Kronos. So the Amiorets, who just sit around and schmooze, and they have nothing constructive, they are the Yoshvei Kronos. You know, they sit on the street corners. Shani mashkim vehem mashkimim. I get up, and they get up. Ani mashkim ledivrei Torah. Hey Mashkimim, we're familiar with this from the Nusach of Asim. Hey Mashkimim, Dvarim B'Telim. Ani Amel Mekabel Schar. And some say it means that for the Amelus itself I'll get Schar, even if I don't understand at the end of the Sugya, but the Amelus itself is a not just a means to an end, but an end of itself. Hey Mamelim, the Eina Mekabel Schar. Although they are Amel, and their amelus is worthless unless they achieve their goal. So he says here in the name of the Chafetz Chaim, Shanoeg sheva olam hu shasocher po litvar bo beged o min olam vapol yamol bezeas apayim yom yomayim v'lo yala v'yodo kefim v'kosho. If let's say he works for a day or for 2 days and he doesn't succeed, lo yikabel shumskar, he can't charge the one who commissioned him because he hasn't produced the goods. So the schar is only for the malacha at the end, but not for the omel. But in Limud Torah, Hashem will reward us for the yegiyah itself, even if he doesn't, at the end of the day, he doesn't understand. And that's the difference between our amelus and their amelus. Ani rots, v'heim rotsim, I'm running l'chai olam above, heim rotsim l'be'er shachas. They're running to just a termination of life, but not eternal life. Now, the Mefarshim want to know, why does he say, Ani rots l'chai ha'olam haba? Isn't this included in what he said earlier? Ani amel u'mekabel schar heima melin v'ena mekabel schar. No, it's my Kabbalah Schar is Olam Abba, and they don't have that Kabbalah Schar. So why does he have to say, Ani Rotz L'chai Olam Abba, V'im Rotz L'ber Shachas? What does he add over here? So Rabbeinu Yonah says that when he says, Ani Rotz L'chai Olam Abba, he doesn't mean the Schar of Olam Abba, but rather, Kishirosh HaOvrim HaYomim, when he sees that the days are passing, HaReu Margish HaRotzu Miskarev L'yom HaMisa. The days and time is moving at the speed of light, and he's coming closer to the final day. And therefore, he should prepare for that derech, you know, what we call tzedel derech, in order to be zocher to chai olam haba. They, however, they don't feel that way. They're not preparing the tzedel chai olam haba. So this goes beyond ani amel v'heim amelim, etc. Because here he's pointing out that because of the ultimate schar, because I'm on the way towards Olam Abba, I'm going to prepare myself and do whatever I can in this world in order to reach Olam Abba and get the benefit, the maximum benefit of Olam Abba. Tana Rabbana Kishachol Rabbi Eliezer Nichnasu Talmidim Levakro Amrulo Rabbeinu Lamdeinu Or Cheschayim. Teach us about life. What is the approach to life? And Iskabam L'chai Olam Abba. So if we do what you tell us with your guidance, we'll be zocher for the world to come. Amar lahem, so Rabbi Eliezer answers the following. He zaru, number one, b'chvod chavercha. You should be very careful about the respect towards your friends. You should have sensitivity towards your friends. And that, in the Lashon of the Pesikta, he says that one of the questions, the first questions they'll ask you when you get to Olam Abba is, Hamlachta Chavercha Lecha. You actually make your friend as if he's your king, and just like you want to fulfill the will of the king, so too you want to fulfill the will of your friend. Then he goes on, Uminu B'nechem Min HaHigayon. In other words, this word Higayon is indicative of what we call mikra. And why is it called higayon, and why do we have to be careful with our educating, raising our children? They shouldn't be too connected, too rugged with mikra, because mikra is Moshe Chesalev. You know, when you read the stories of the Torah and Tanakh, you know, that's very exciting. But as a result, if we spend too much time reading these stories, then we're going to lose our focus on Torah Sheval Peh, which we don't want to do. So we have to already train our children in Torah Sheval Peh. Now, it's very interesting that in the tefillah of Rav Nechunya ben Akana that we just learned, he had a special hodah when he left the Beis Medrash. And it wasn't enough that he just would say, I thank you, Hashem, for my chelik in Torah. But apparently because he lived in a generation where people were dedicated to Dvarim B'Teilim, he wanted to thank Hashem and in a sense put a gnai on those people in his generation who were just wasting away, frittering away their time. And therefore he thanked Hashem not only for giving him a chelik in the Beis HaMedrash, but for putting him in a sense in an uplifted position where he could be zochet to chai olam haba. Now, as far as the reading of mikra is concerned, which is called higayon, Rashi tells us, not here but in Masechet Shabbos, that because the people will be, and again we're talking about young students, will be dedicated to reading ksuvim and yimshach libam, And they get so excited about the ksuvim that lo yishmu es adrosho sekes v'hilchas isa v'het. The Rashi puts the emphasis here that they will not be interested, motivated to join for the drosha of isa v'het. Rashi gives another interpretation, and he says yesh leman am, he should try to prevent his children misichas yilodim. And Rashi explains that we're talking about bachurim oskim b'divrei leitzanus. He says that young adolescents have a tendency of having this laid-back, you know, joking attitude. It's not serious. And the friends sort of are drawn to follow them. They become a clique. And therefore, a father has to try to teach his son to give a more serious attitude. Hoshivam bein birkei talmid chacham, whenever you have an opportunity, bring your children, expose them to Talmidei Chachamim, bring them close to the Talmidei Chachamim. It's not enough that you don't teach them Mikra, too much Mikra, but it could be that when they get to the age, when they're ready to learn Mishnah and Gemara, they won't have the proper influence, the proper excitement, you know, the contact with Talmidei Chachamim who can inspire them towards the love of Torah. So they may go to school and, you know, they get the 9-to-5 curriculum, but they're not really excited. And any chance they have, they would be mevatel the Torah. So therefore, in order to instill in them the love for Torah, make sure that you bring them close to Talmidei Chachamim so they can learn from them, they can see the milus of Talmidei Chachamim, they're misraglim to be close to the Talmidei Chachamim, they'll want to imitate the Talmidei Chachamim. And furthermore, kishatem mispalim du lifnei miatem omdim. Right, this is not so simple that when you mispal, the head shouldn't be somewhere on the football game, but rather you should be mispal the aim of the year with a focus on the shechina that's right present in front of you. B'shvil kach tizku l'chai olam haba. So it's interesting that when Rabbi Eliezer is warning his Talmidim about three different things that they should put the focus on, so we're talking about the three amudim of the world. Al shlosha dvarim, the Mishnah says in Avos Omed, Ha'olam Omed, Al Torah, Al Avoda, V'al Gemidus Chasodim. And that's what Rabbi Eliezer is teaching his Talmidim. Number one, Hizaru b'chvod chaverchem, that's the midah of Gemilas Chasodim, which is derived from the Pasuk V'ahavtal Re'ech Kamocha. And then, when you teach them to be marchik themselves, not to put too much overemphasis on higayon, to make sure that they're studying the Torah, that's the second of the three amudim on which the world is built in Avoda, and Avoda is tefillah. And therefore, kshatem mispalim du mipnei miatem mispalim. Now, since Rabbi Lezer puts this emphasis in his Talmidim that they have to know about shasa tefil lifnei miatem omdim, the Gemara now is going to bring a maisa with Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai when he was on his deathbed. And the Talmidim heard words of wisdom from Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Shechol Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai nichus Talmidim levakos. Came and shorose some as soon as Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai saw them. Hiskil levakos, livkos. He broke out in tears. And the question is, why did he break out in tears? Dafka when he saw them. And there's a vart here in the footnote in the name of the altar of Kelim. And he says that since he had a special responsibility to be machanech his Talmidim, therefore he was worried that he wouldn't fulfill his obligation and he would leave this world. He was afraid that maybe in the world to come, when they judge him on his actions, they'll start by judging him on the fact that he didn't pass on to his Talmidim enough of the Torah, he didn't influence them and inspire them, so therefore he got overwhelmed by fear and he broke out in tears. Amrulo Talmid of Ner Yisrael, you are the light of Israel, because the Chacham are always considered Meiri Einayim Shel Yisrael. Amud Hayimini, you are the right hand. The right hand is always considered the more chashuv hand. Everything depends upon the right side. When they called Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai Ner Yisrael, that's in terms of his Maila in mitzvahs, kiner mitzvah, The Pasuk Mishlei compares the mitzvah to a ner, but Admud HaYemini is a reference to the fact that he, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, saved the tzaddikim at the time, the Churban HaBayis. And number three, they called him Patish Chazak, a very strong hammer. And this is a reference to Torah. The Pasuk says in Yirmiyah, Ki Patish Yifotzas Sela, that's a reference to the study of Torah. These are all your great midos as a leader of Israel. Is when Nevata Bocha, why are you crying? Amal Em Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai responded, Iluf Ne Melech Basav Adama Yom Olichanos, if they took me in the presence of a king, Shayom Kana Mocha Bakever, he's here today, gone tomorrow. Shim Kois Alai, his kas, it's not a kas olam, it's not eternal. Vim Osreini, and if he locks me up in jail, Eini Suro Isur Olam. Vim Misani, Ein Misosom Isus Olam, because I'll still go into Olam Abba. And I can pacify him or I can bribe him. And nevertheless, so you see, Bocha, I would still be overwhelmed by fear. And now, they're taking me to judgment. If he gets angry at me, it's an eternal anger. And if he locks me up, Yisuro Yisuro Olam, I'll be completely excluded from Olam Abba. V'yem Misani, if he takes me away, Misosu Misus Olam, it's the Ein Yochel Afaisa B'dvar B'lo Shachtu V'mom, and I have no way of getting out of this. I can't bribe the Ribbono Shel Olam. V'lo Od, and furthermore, Yesh Lufanai Shnei Drachim, Achas Shel Gan Eden, V'achas Shel Gehenim, I'm at the crossroads, V'ein Yodeh V'ezem Olichen Osi, this is a Pella, the Mepharshim are going to go wild over this. There, Rabbi Yochanan ben Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is saying he doesn't know if they'll take him into Gehenim. In other words, even though they won't, the judgment in heaven won't be that I should die a Mises Olam like full-fledged Rishon Gemur, but nevertheless, I'm afraid that they'll take me to Gehenna because I'm not a Tzadik Gomur, so I'm going to have to suffer some amount of suffering in Gehenna. And the Marsha says, Tamua Ketzad Choshesh Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai Me'aderech Shebo Yolichu Oso V'lo Yavatu Apitzin Kusos Yolichu Oso L'Gan Eden. Says the Marsha, Omar came Kidei Shelo Lizgos Mul HaTalmidim. In other words, he wanted to train them in the Midah of humility. But that doesn't explain why he mentions Chizkiyahu Melech Yehuda, as we'll see in a few minutes. The punchline of this whole discussion is V'lo Evke? Question mark. A rhetorical question, would I not be crying? I mean, look what's at stake over here, and there's no way out. This is the nature of the judgment loss in Lava. Amru Lo, the Talmidim said, Rabbeinu Barchenu, give us a bracha. Omer lehem, Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai responded, Yiratzon shetei mora shamayim aleichem kimora basam adam. This is probably the most famous line in all of Masechta Brachos, that Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai didn't give them more of a bracha than that they should have fear of God like they have a fear of a human being. Omer lo talmidav adkan, that's all you expect from us. You know, the highest level we can achieve is that our fear of God should be equal to our fear of a human being, nothing beyond that. Omer lehem halavai. He says, halavai, that you should reach that level, that mora shamayim is kemora basav adam, and that itself is going to prevent you from doing averos. Teidu, and you should know, kisha'adam over avera omer, he says to himself, shalo yirani adam, nobody is looking at me, I'm doing it in private. It means he's afraid that other people will see him. But when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where everything is goli v'yodu, everything is known to God, it's in God's eyes, so you should have mora shamayim kemora basav adam. You should be inhibited just like you would in your actions, your behavior in front of human beings. Now, we mentioned before about Chizkiyo Melech Yehuda. So I'll get back to that in just 1 second. I just want to finish to the next Mishnah. B'shas p'tiras omalem. As soon as Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai was about to pass from this world, panu kelim, take away the kelim from the bayis when they are tuma, because a dead body inside an oel is metame betumas oel. That's called olam mes. Veichinu kise, and prepare a chair for Chizkiyo Melech Yehuda Shebah. Chizkiyahu Melech Yehud is coming to be Malava me. Now, since Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai notified his Talmidim that Chizkiyahu Melech Yehuda is coming to be Malava him, apparently he was a little bit afraid that they would be Maharher Achrov. That's the language of the Marshoi, Maharher Achrov. What does that mean? So he quotes the Zohar. The Zohar says that Bishosha Tzadikim Niftarim Lebeis Olam, in the time Tzadikim die, Boim Tzadikim Lilvosom, that other greats come to escort them to the next world. And this is not true when a Rasha dies. So when Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai tells them, notifies them that Chizkiyahu Melech Yehuda is coming to escort him, he's basically saying that I'm a tzaddik and not a rasha. So if that be the case, the Marsha asks, so why did he say to them that I'm not sure which way I'm going to go, whether I'm going to Gan Eden or Gehenna? So he answers that this was all meant as an educational tool to bring the children, I shouldn't say children, because these disciples were probably very mature, but they should bring them to a state of humility, to realize that, you know, we may be tzaddikim and we'll certainly get Gan Eden, but there also are elements in our life that we fall short and we'll have a little bit of Gehenna in our judgment. And the Marsha asks another question. He says, why does Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai state that there's no way of being Meshached? You can't bribe HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a pasuk in Mishlei, Tzedakah Tatzil Mimavos. You could really bribe HaKadosh Baruch by paying him tzedakah, not him, but giving tzedakah to him. And he says the following, that Ba'olam HaZeh, it's greater than Olam Haba, because in Olam HaZeh, I could be Mefayis HaKadosh Baruch Hu both with tefillah and with tzedakah. But in Olam Haba, When I'm being brought in front of the heavenly court for judgment after death, I don't have the possibility of tefillah or tzedakah. So that's why I'm very nervous, because all the methods that I have to be meshached HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kam Yochal are all now going to terminate. Now we have a Gemara later on, a very famous Gemara, Hakol Bidei Shamayim Chutz Meyira Shamayim. And if that be the case, Yira Shamayim is given to man's freedom. So the Marsha now asks, Ketzad the Bircham, what is the nature of this bracha, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, b'mora shamayim, that you should have the fear of heaven? A bracha means that you're supplicating God to bring down His blessings, bestow His blessings, but Yira Shamayim is not Bidei Shamayim. Says the Marsha, this was Derech Tochacha. Amar lehem dvarim elu b'derech tochacha, sheyasu kein. He wasn't saying that God should inspire them to Mora Shamayim, but rather his bracha to them was that if they will hear his tochach and they'll be inspired, and they'll realize that they should have at least the element of fear of God that they would have in fear of man, then Memela HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be Messiah Elohim. And this is based on the famous dictum in the Gemara, Nabon Perek Abona Aboli Tar Messiah Nosov. So the purpose of his tochacha was that ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu would help them because they've chosen this path. We'll just learn through the Mishnah and then we'll end for this morning. Our Mishnah goes back to address the laws of tefillah and to explain the Seder HaTefillah on a daily basis. From Gamliel Omer B'chol Yom V'Yom Mispal Adam Shmona Esrei. According to his opinion, which we're familiar with, a person on a daily basis, three times a day, should recite the brachos of Shmona Esrei, the 18 brachos, and the Amida. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, no. We're not required to recite the entire Shmona Esrei, but Me'en Shmona Esrei. And we're going to have to see in the Gemara exactly what Me'en Shmona Esrei is. It's some sort of an abridged form of Shmona Esrei. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Im Shkura Tefillah, it all depends. If he's ragil b'tefillah, then mispal, he should say the whole Shmona Esrei. Lav, if he's not ragil, it's me'ein Shmona Esrei. And all this has to do with the fact that they didn't have printed sidurim then. A lot was learned by heart. Rabbi Lezer Omer osa tefiloso keva ein tefiloso tachnunim. A person who davens in a way that it's like a chova, like it's as if it's a burden upon him, he's obligated, and he wants to be poreik this ol, so to speak. He wants to fulfill his obligation, discharge his duties, like punching in a card, punching in his time. Ein tefilos ha-tachnunim. His tefillah will not have that power of supplication, of what's called nesias chen with Kadosh Baruch Hu. It won't find favor in the eyes of God. Again, he could fulfill his chova, but it won't have that extra element of tefillah so tachnunim. Rabbi Yeshua Omer HaHolich Mimakom Sakana, if a person cannot be mechavin his lev during his davening, it's time for davening, but he's out in a very dangerous area, is mispal tefillah ktsara. Again, this is not to be identified with Rabbi Yeshua as me'ein shmona esrei, which he daven 3 times a day according to Rabbi Yeshua. The Gemara is going to explain later on that means that he has a shortened form of each one of the brachos and tzoyos, but here we're talking about something called a tefillah ktsara. It's not even a formal structural shmona esrei. It doesn't start with any shevach or end with any hodaya, but it's a simple, straightforward expression of supplication. Hosha Hashem es amecha she'eris Yisrael b'chol parshas ha'ibur. Okay, this has to be understood with parshas ha'ibur has to do with anything. But basically it means the Shah of Parshim le'averos, when people go out to do averos, is nevertheless, please save the people of Israel, have compassion. You tzarcheim, tzarcheim lefanecha. All their needs should be clear in front of your eyes, to have compassion on Baruch Atah Hashem Shomea Tefillah. And we're going to see later on that if a person was in a Makom Sakana and he davened the Tefillah Ketzara when he gets back home and he's out of the Sakana, he's going to have to say Shmon Esrei, as opposed to Rabbi Yoshua's Me'ein Shmon Esrei, which is a Heftz of Tefillah and it has the Din of an Amidah. This is a different Bakasha that he should recite by Makom Sakana. Now it's time for davening. Yered v'yispalel. He should not daven while he's sitting on the donkey. V'im eino yochel lered. If he can't get off the donkey, it's dangerous. His yachzer is ponov. He should look towards Yerushalayim v'yispalel, and he has to daven while he's on the donkey. He has no choice. V'im eino yochel yachzer is ponov. If he can't look towards Yerushalayim, then yechaven es libo kineged beis kodshei kadoshim. In his mind, he should have the Kodshi Kedoshim in his mind's eye. Hoyah Mahalach Besvino Vasta. If he's on his way by ship and there are a lot of pieces of wood in the case of an Asta that are, how does he translate Asta? He says here, Eitzim Rabim Kshurim Yachtov. It's a kind of a raft, I think. A wooden raft. I just want to make sure he has the same translation that I understood it.
In the Asta, he says he's imprisoned in stocks.
One more time?
He says it's like the stockade. They used to prison, put there with, it's a stock. It's a wooden stockade.
A wooden stockade. Okay.
Like the prison, like you were stuck in that.
Because he says, Meshita Minar. He says in the Masif that it goes on the river, like a Sfina.
Yeah, that's not what he says.
That's not what he says. Okay, I guess there are different interpretations. Is Yechame Slibo Keneged Koche HaKadosh? Okay, Rabbi Osei, we'll stop here.
He says, the first shot of Rashi is that of water. That's
the
second one. He says it's a raft.
Oh, a raft. That's what I said.
Okay,
so that was both interpretations.